The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 4. That night spent on the rocky ledge high above the town of Zulega was the 11th worst of my life. Given what you already know about my personal habits and inclinations, you cannot be surprised to learn that a night on a rocky ledge anywhere was not to my liking. But this particular rocky ledge, perched, as it was, high above some godforsaken little seaport, and populated, at least in part, by a number of people I deemed to be hostile to my person, was especially uncomfortable for me. I could not put it out of my mind. That look in Rudiger's eyes that afternoon as he stared down at me from the back of his seedy-looking camel. It was a look of pure malevolence. I didn't like it. As I lay by the fire that night, I tried to put that image out of my mind by remembering back to a more pleasant time lying by an open fire. That time I was in the company of a young woman who spoke not a word of English, but who was well versed in the language of love, as they say. That was probably the 11th best night of my life. Fond remembrances of past loves did finally manage to drive the wicked images from my brain and the cold from my limbs, and I drifted off into a fairly sound sleep, considering the circumstances. I was awakened by Rudiger rifling my pants pockets. As I am a fairly sound sleeper, it is a little surprising that his rummaging awoke me. Had I not been still wearing them, it probably would not have. I have to say that of all the possible ways for someone to be awakened from a deep sleep in the middle of the night on a cold, rocky ledge, miles from nowhere, one of the least pleasant is to be awakened by a greasy, malevolent guide with his dirty little hands in the front of your pants. Naturally, I screamed. This seemed to startle not only Rudiger and myself, but all the other members of our party, including the camels and the mules, all of whom suddenly bolted in every direction. I would guess that at this point you are assuming that I mean only the camels and the mules bolted. This is not what I mean. I was only half awake, and so when I noticed that all the camp's occupants were sprinting willy-nilly in all directions, if that's not too redundant, I felt compelled to take flight myself, and started running as fast as my chubby, lazy little legs would carry me down the mountain towards Zulega. This was the same direction that the guide Sammy, also being quite lazy and thereby taking the path of least resistance, had chosen. I overtook him after a few minutes, not due to my own running prowess, but because he was already both calming and tiring. As I passed him, I wondered aloud what was the trouble. Over the next 200 meters or so of dodging round scrub brush and skipping over the scree, we sorted out that my scream had started it all, and so we ceased our flight. After a few minutes of both panting and puffing, we turned back towards our now empty camp and began the long, slow hike back. When we finally shambled shamefacedly back into camp, we found only Roger, Alvy, and Hobie still there. It seems that the porters and Rudiger had gone for good. Not only that, but they had left with all the mules, one of the camels, and a sizable portion of the provisions.